Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. We're so glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm here with Steven Cervantes. So how are you doing, my friend?
Blessed. Thank you for asking.
We are recording this program in the middle of September, so our thoughts definitely go out to our friends on the West Coast with the fires and everything going on. So we are praying that y'all are safe, and we know there's a lot of things going on right now all across our country and around our world that are just reminding us of our frailties, our weaknesses, and that life is short. And so you're in our thoughts and our prayers out there on the West Coast.
Thank you.
Steven, I wanted to just dive right in here because I think this is going to be a good conversation about marriage, about a husband who may be a pretty good representative of most of us men out there. And maybe we can try to provide some, provide some insights on, okay, how can we do a little bit better on maybe some of the communication side and connection?
I love be broken because men are men and women are women.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple here. You know, it's not as complicated as when you go out in the world. It's like we're still talking to men about manhood and being men and the weaknesses of men.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just thought I'd throw that in.
Maybe it's because we are extremely familiar with that.
Oh, so, that's
we
good.
We speak of what we know.
So I love Gateway. We do a weekend where we challenge men to learn and grow. And so if you ever get a chance, almost everybody that's gone through that said it changed my life. I mean, it's just a phenomenal weekend. So if you ever get a chance and find a few dollars that you'd like to invest, and it's worth it. So these guys tell us stories, okay? And I'm at the weekend, and this guy's telling me a story, and I asked, can I make a few notes? He said, sure. Can I tell? I love the Gateway men. They always say yes. We never say a name. Because it doesn't matter. We're brothers. We're men. We're strugglers. We're learning. We're growing. And this is a community of men that says, I will help train my brother. And if my story will help, use my story. I mean, that's the heart of Christ, you know? I love that. So he says, my dad was really disconnected. He went to work, came home, zoned out with the television, went to bed. Very little dialogue or interaction with me. And mom was very unemotional. She did her activities, her business, didn't use a lot of language, told me, go here, do this, do that. There wasn't much conversation. There wasn't emotional training, but from mom or dad. And really, let's get one thing straight. If you're good at emotions, it's because your parents were good at emotions. Right? You heard them. We say words. We define the words for our children. We say, I'm so stressed. They watch us. They're stressed. And what'd he do? He went and got on his lazy boy and stretched out and relaxed. Okay. That's training, right? You have to say words, use emotion, and talk about how you get through. I'm so afraid. What did dad do when dad was afraid? Did he say that word? Did he coach us, right? We try to use emotions to train the little ones so they can use emotions. But if both of your trainers were not emotional, then you fall back on what you have, which is logic.
Yeah.
You try to figure things out and put them together and make them work. And you use a different set of language if you're trained by unemotional parents.
And I would say, you know, one thing to remember too about this idea of training is it's very informal. It's more about observation than it is like, oh, I'm a kid somehow taking notes on everything that's going on. It's like, no, you're just absorbing it, right?
Right.
So that can also be contextual to other environments, right? So, I mean, you're absorbing what you see in your teachers or what you see at church or those kinds of things. It's just most prominent in terms of what you're probably going to absorb in terms of your training is going to be from your home environment.
That's right. You eat, sleep, and live at home. And those are the 24-hour trainers, right? And when you're gone, you come home. And so, yeah, you have a coach, and yeah, you have a teacher, and yeah, you have these other folks. But how problems are solved day in and day out happen between our parents.
Right.
And we're talking about relational problems, not work problems. That's a different skill set. So he says, I grew up and I had to figure out things on my own. And I made them as simple as possible. And he said, I have this basic philosophy. If it's broke, fix it. And if it's not broke, leave it alone. It's like, hey, that makes sense to me.
Right, yeah.
But it's not very emotional, right? It's very logical. What's the problem? Why do you need to talk about it? Fix the problem. If you don't like something, leave it. Mm-hmm. If you don't want it, you know, don't have anything to do with it. It's really easy. It's very behavioral and very logical. So there's a problem, though, when you say, I do. You know what I mean? You invite somebody into a relationship and you're all logic. And if they had emotional parents that use emotional words, want to be emotional, we're going to have a problem.
And I would say even before that, you have a problem because as much as you might have been training yourself to be a fixer and being this quote unquote unemotional person,
yeah,
that is an impossibility to do as a human being.
Mm.
I mean, we can repress and suppress right. emotions a lot, but the reality is our being is still, it still contains emotion. We still have feelings,
yeah.
even if we don't know how to recognize them or how to communicate them or any of that. So, you know, he was having problems long before he said, I do. I think sometimes the I do magnifies.
Yeah,
it like puts a magnifying glass on That's those deficiencies.
Right. Yeah. So this is a great worker. This is a guy you want at work. He loves problems. He loves fixing problems. Problems are what he eats for breakfast, lunch, and supper. It's like problems. You love these guys at work. But in relationship, they're not so good. So this guy says, look, I need some skills. Can you teach me a few skills? So he and I have this long conversation. And then it's sort of, these skills sort of apply to a lot of guys. And so I'm just going to roll out some mm-hmm. things here. But first, there's a question. And it's interesting about change. Because if you're wired one way and you've done it all your life, do you think you want to change? If your life has worked and you're happy and you're successful at work and you know, you eat, sleep, drink, and we go forward, you enjoy life, you serve Jesus, and you're full of logic. I mean, that's some people's lives.
You know what I would say to that, though? I think because we meet these guys all the time, they do want to change in the sense that they don't want what they've been getting.
They don't want the outcome. That's right.
But
that's
the problem is if, especially if they're a fixer,
mm-hmm.
they want to be able to control what that change looks like. In other words, they want to be able to paint the picture of what it's supposed to look like instead of going in the direction of like, hey, let's learn something new that's going to be beneficial to your relationships yeah. and to your life. They want to be able to say, I don't like what I've been getting here. But I want to construct the different thing that I do over here. And it's like, it doesn't really work that way, does it?
No.
I mean, like real change, you can't manufacture it.
Well, and here, I will ask guys that say, hey, I want to change. I say, do you understand what you're saying to me? You custom designed your life. You like your life. Your life mostly works. And now you say, oh, I want to change. It's like, well, what do you want, chocolate or vanilla ice cream? You know, let's just make a change. No, change like rips at your core. So you have to ask yourself, do I want to do the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life?
Like eat kale instead of ice cream, you know?
That's good. Can we bake it into chips and salt, a lot of salt on? So the first question is, do you really want to change? Change is a lot of work. And we like to go back. And, you know, the other thing I think, when anybody says, I want to change, I think, you're good for 30 days. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be back. Because don't yeah. you notice the first 30 days of anything, it's like, okay, I can will it.
Especially like you're saying for a guy like this, right? He's trained himself to be logical and be a fixer.
Oh,
so then if he says, okay, I've been doing ABC, but now I need to do XYZ. Okay, I'm going to go do XYZ. And like you said, somebody who's trained their will in that way.
The fiber of their being, their
core. For 30 days, yeah, they can will it, but there's always going to be a point at which they realize, but you know what? There's a paradigm here. There's a foundation that hasn't really shifted.
No, that's right. And listen to what you said. They can will it, but remember, will runs out.
Yeah, you grow weary.
That's right. It's like muscles. In the morning, we're fresh. By the end of the day, well, our will is like, I'm tired. I just want what I know. Why can't I go back to my old life? So the first thing, question is, you want to change? You really want to change? It's going to be the most difficult thing in your life, one. And number two, you're going to have to get past 30 days.
Yeah.
Because everybody can will 30 days. But after 30 days, you're going to ask a deep question. Do I really want to change? I got to go another 30 days, mm-hmm. You know? So that's the first part. The second part is this. This is the most powerful emotional statement that I could train a person to use. Are you ready to make an emotional connection to use? There's three words. Whenever you hear someone emotional pain, I'm going to teach you right now what to say. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
That's sad.
Mm.
That's sad. Oh, man, I've been working for a week and I was planning to go and my boss told me I couldn't take my trip. I have to work. And you say,
that's sad.
And I've been saving my money. We were going to buy this new washing machine and the kid got sick. All the savings went to the doctor.
Mm.
And you say,
that is sad.
Now, do you understand what that line does? It immediately makes you enter my space and sit with me in my pain. Because I'm experiencing sadness. And when you say that's sad, it means I'm sitting right with you in your pain.
Mm-hmm.
It means I'm not alone. Because a logical person will say, well, save more money.
Right.
You know, or take your trip next month. Or, you know, well, that, but don't be sad.
Right.
And that immediately breaks the connection. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
No, I think that's powerful. I think, you know, what I'm hearing you say there is we need to listen in order to be present.
Yeah.
With somebody. Mm-hmm. And I think for a guy like this who, listen, he got poor emotional training. He learned that the way I'm going to survive and cope and get through life is to be totally logical. He's probably trained his ear to listen for the problem so that he can fix it.
Exactly. You got it. They listen for the problem, not the emotion. And they fix the problem.
So so through that kind of communication, you're never entering the space of the other person. You're never connecting with them because
the emotions.
You can keep plenty of distance and fix people's problems. To say that's sad, I'm having to let go of any kind of solution to your problem and just say, I'm going to enter your space. I'm going to feel what you're feeling.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna just be here with you. Yeah.
So remember, how do you know if a person's emotions are working? Sadness.
Mm.
If they have sadness, if they can sit in sadness, you know their emotions working because that's a fundamental, basic one. So that's why we practice with that one because all the rest of them are some versions of variation, disappointment, irritation, right? What is all that stuff? I'm tired. I'm lonely. That's all. Sad.
Mm.
Some variation of sad. So this guy's telling me this story. It's funny, we're at a gateway retreat, somebody else, and he's telling this story. And he said, I got beat up by a bunch of guys. And then I got left. And I mean, the way there was such pain in his face. Mm. And I said, man, that makes me sad. And he started crying. He said, nobody ever said that to me. Mm. I've told this story before. But nobody felt the sadness that I was trying to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you said, that's sad, and he just immediately started crying. And it put him back in his own body.
Mm-hmm.
So that he could feel it is sad. That's a trauma that I should grieve. that changed my life. That made me resentful of guys and not trust other guys, and I have no friends, and that changed the course of my life. That is very sad, right? So rule number one, what's the line?
That's sad.
Good. Rule number two, whatever word somebody uses, you try to say the word back. Don't make up fancy words, guess other words. I pick my words. I put my sentences together. I try to use the most graphic word to express what I'm feeling. And when you say my word back, you got it. If you make up another word, that came from your head.
Mm-hmm.
But you're trying to stay in my conversation. So I was, bunch of guys were going to go out. We planned this big trip, and we got all this gear, and we were all going to go together. And one by one, before we left, the day before we left, guys started calling. No, I'm not going to go. No, I can't go. My wife doesn't want me to go. So I'm sitting there with all my gear, and I'm all alone. Now, what are you going to say back? Because I just flavored the word. I flavored the emotion. And you got to play somewhere off that word, right? And so it's just me. Everybody left. Nobody's going. All my excitement. I'm sitting there alone.
That's sad that you're alone.
Yeah. So you, good. You know, this exercise is the alone one. So you used it right. Drop the sad, because that was like a double, really. You should get extra credit for that one. But say that without the sad, say it.
What, just that you're alone?
Yeah, you were so alone.
Yeah.
Say it.
You were so alone.
Oh, man, I was so alone. And not only was I alone. Now, see, you got my word, and I'm going to go on with the story now, because you're right mm-hmm. with me. And then I look back on what I had done. I had spent a month and $500 buying special gear. I had the hat. I had the scarf. I had the outdoor shirt. I went and got a backpack. I got shoes and socks. And I got a rod. I borrowed a pistol. We were going to go out and catch these trout out in the middle of nowhere where they're wild animals. I had everything laid out. And I felt so frustrated that I couldn't use all. I spent a month. It's so frustrating. These people let me down.
That is frustrating.
Yeah. And see, now, when you say my word back, I take off again because I know you got it.
Right.
Now, somebody that wants to break the conversation and go, well, what kind of gear did you buy? It's like, I'm not talking about.
I was about to ask you about what kind of pistol it was.
But when you said my word back, I take off again. Right. And I go, you know how long we've been planning this? And you know how every one of these guys promised me 6 months ago, you can count on me and you can count on me. Every one of these guys have flaked out on me. I'm so sick of being let down. And you know what it reminds me of? The time my father mm-hmm. said we were going to take a trip mm-hmm. and he let me down. Mm-hmm. Now you could use...
Let you down.
Or the other one is good. Can you hear the sadness in that mm-hmm. story?
Yeah.
So what would you switch? Pick one. They're both right.
Well, I'd say them together. That's so sad that you were let down in that way.
Oh, man. Look at, he's trying to be good. He's doing double on me. He's doing doubles. This is like, wow. Because if you hear sadness and you say sad, boom, instant bonding. Mm-hmm. And if you pick my word up, instant bonding.
Yeah.
You got to get out of your own head and stay in the story and pick up the word or the sadness.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
I think this is $150 an hour therapy for free that were given to these listeners, and I've already benefited tremendously from this. I think, you know, as you're saying that, I'm going through even conversations, let's say in my own home,
yeah.
with my wife or with my kids or something, and I'm saying, and I'm realizing how easy it is when you know I can be more prone to that logical.
Right.
Side.
Yeah.
of just how easy it, I mean, I can go back and just even pull up a few conversations from the recent past and realize I can see exactly where that got derailed.
And it went off in a whole direction that you
because it
wanted
was,
to take it because you...
Because I didn't match the word or I didn't I didn't connect with the emotion. And so I can see how easy it is to just sort of shut down relationship or shut down conversation.
That's right. Because we could be talking about equipment. Because, you and I could be talking about it for 20 minutes. And guess what? You understand, by following my lead, I got to my father wound.
Right.
And you wanted to talk about pistols.
Right.
But you understand how I understand me more because you followed me.
Yeah. And here's what I think is important, too, to think about as we're talking about this. I'm realizing this isn't about the person that's, you know, logical and somehow demeaning them or saying, oh, it's stupid. Because I think a lot of times even that person is not going necessarily into a conversation with the intent of I want to be emotionally distant and I want to derail this conversation.
No,
I think
that's
what I think this is why we need to circle back around. And what this guy was realizing is I need better skills. Mm. And I think what you're doing is supplying the better skills. So in other words, there was this huge gaping hole of ignorance. That in other words, this guy just didn't know.
He didn't know, right?
He kept, I mean, and I think a lot of us have done that. We keep derailing these conversations.
Yes.
That's not our intention. But it's because we don't know the skills that we don't know, right? And so I think what you've done is you've just given us two incredibly valuable and really simple skills to help keep us in the moment, in that conversation with the person who's trying to share with us something of an emotional nature or depth.
So one is that's sad.
That's sad.
And two is
match the word.
Match the word. Okay. So I'm going to give four.
Oh, man, can we handle it?
I don't know. So the next two go together, okay? And it is get to the end. Help the other person get to the end.
Probably not by saying those words, right?
No, but that's the goal in mind. You're right. You don't say this. You think they're talking. They have something to say. I want to help them get to the end. Because what we do is we shortcut it. We jump in where we want to take over the conversation.
Or we might derail it just by, I mean, I've literally said these words before. So what's the bottom line?
Yeah. So get to the end. But the point is, in the process, now I'm talking about men talking to women, okay? I'm playing the woman's role here, and you're playing the man's role. So my wife has something to say, and it's incredibly important for her to get to the end. Because do you remember what I said about my father?
Mm-hmm.
That would not have come up if you had not followed me to where I need to go. Because when I said, oh, that's when my father abandoned me, now I get my feelings. I got where I needed to go. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I didn't need anything from you. I needed you to help me get to the end. That's three. And number four is talk like a girl. What's number three?
Get to the end.
And what's number four?
Talk like a girl.
Okay, now let's I'm going to train you to talk like a girl right now.
Oh,
okay?
Boy, okay.
So how do girls talk? One talks, and the only other one says place marker sounds. And they go like this. No, really, my, I can't believe that. No, really? Oh, my. What? Just place marker sounds. So what does talk like a girl mean?
Place marker sounds.
And give me some examples.
My. Oh, really?
Yes. So I got to tell you, I got this dog, and I was so excited about this dog. And it was like my dream, and I'd ordered this dog, and it was perfect. Place marker.
Really?
Yeah. It was beautiful, and I'd saved a bunch of money, and I was taking care of this dog, and one night it got out.
No.
Yeah. It got out under the gate, and it got hit by a car.
Oh, no.
It got killed.
How sad.
Yeah. And so it reminded me of a time when I had a dog as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, I loved that black dog. He was called Midnight. He was black. He ran around with me. We went down to the river. We had great times together, that dog. And he got out one night.
No.
Yeah. And he got killed. I buried him in my backyard. And I went in my garage, and I decided I was going to get in the attic part of the garage, and I was not going to come out. Because it was so painful.
How sad.
Yeah. And this feels just like that.
No. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So now, one story, you make your sound. I jump to the next piece. You make, this is how girls talk if you listen on the phone. One of them's going, you can't believe what happened the other day. What? And then if you, and this girl's always been like this at work and she'll never stop. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And her husband and her and she, and then you can't believe what happened in the parking lot the other day. What? And then we said, right? One's talking, the other one's just place marking. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going. Keep going. I'm here. I'm in this. I'm with you. I'm with you. Where are you going next? And what's rule number three?
Get to the end.
Get to the end. Because here's what we learned about women. Women talk to help themselves understand what they think. And when they're talking, they're figuring it out. The other girl's doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking and thinking and gaining insight. Now, the way men work is men think inside, solve the problem, and pronounce the answer.
Right.
The way women talk is they're not sure what's going on, so they start telling stories. And in the second or third part or fourth part, they go, oh, I know what this is. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
That was so helpful to you.
Yeah.
And what did she do? Oh, my, really? No? Oh, man, this was a great conversation. Thank you. I got it now. Thanks. That was good.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. And it, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, and it's likely then that that woman is going to go elsewhere and just speak the praises of that other person. Like, she's brilliant. She's amazing. You know, her advice was wonderful. You know, and it's like, it. And she didn't give any advice.
I'm so feel at peace.
Right.
I got my stuff out. You took me to rest. I started stressed. You let me tell the story as I told it. I got myself to rest. And guess what you have? A restful wife that's appreciative of you because she got her stuff out.
And you know what? Here's the other thing that I think is important to kind of bring this thing full circle. Coming back to this man who was poorly trained emotionally, who went to logic and became a fixer.
Right.
By engaging these skills that you've just laid out for us here, how much is that going to restore and build up his own emotional maturity,
yeah,
and his own emotional. So in other words, like just by doing these skills, by, you know, matching the words or being sad in the moment or
yes,
get to the end and
yes,
and place marking time, just doing that kind of stuff, think about how conversations can then turn.
And go.
What I mean is to where then he may feel safer to go, I feel such and such, or where he's never had
right
conversations where he's felt like I could be sad and express that to my wife and
yeah,
and go there, you know. So I think this is hugely beneficial, you know, for anybody out there that's feeling like I need to grow emotionally. I need to know how to be present in the moment with
my good.
So, well, this has been a lot. Listeners, we've gotten a PhD level course here in some communication techniques. Hope they've been helpful for you, and especially are going to be helpful as you employ these into your relationships.
Yes.
But we want to hear from you, so please reach out to us and let us know what you're learning, questions you may still have about this very topic. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take
God
care.
Bless.